Icon. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking about the Bible's authority on truth and why it matters. If you go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'd like to start off with a verse from 2 Timothy. We'll start in verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Unfortunately for us, today, we live in a world where there are evil men, and they deceive other men. We also live in a world where Satan is blinding the lost. If you take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to read this verse as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We live in a world where people don't know what truth is anymore, whether being deceived or blinded. So when we ask, what's the authority? We have to ask, well, what's the truth? And where do we find the truth? Now, deceived people will say that it's someone other than God. We know, as Christians, God is the creator. God is where the source of truth is from. But disdainful or arrogant people will say, well, I am the decider of truth. I am the authority in my life. And that, unfortunately, is the same mistake that Satan made in his pride, saying, I would be like the Most High in Isaiah chapter 14. And then there are delusional people. And delusional people deny that there is any truth altogether. Like Pilate in John chapter 18 saying, what is truth? Or take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Starting here in verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There are the deluded who have pleasure in unrighteousness. They believe not the truth. However, we know, if you look at the outline at the very top, I've quoted there Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. God is true. God is the source of truth, and we should count every man a liar. Amen. So today, if someone comes to you and says, well, you can't trust that Bible there in front of you, let that man be a liar, because God is true. Jesus is God. And Jesus is the Lord, and we belong to the Lord. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we know just from yesterday, doing a little bit of Bible study together, that this is a quotation of Isaiah chapter 45. And Isaiah chapter 45 says, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is the one to whom all knees will bow and every tongue will confess. And in Romans chapter 14, as we were searching for the terms knee and bow, We found another reference there. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. We're going to start reading in verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're going to account for ourselves before Christ, and we're going to have to account for whether or not we knew the truth, whether or not we understood where the authority on truth came from. And so when we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about the words of God. We all know that. And when someone tells you, well, don't believe the Bible, you can't trust it, it's got mistakes, it's not the word of God, whatever it is, the sincere Christian will respond, well, I'm going to believe what the Bible says, not what you say, for these reasons that we've been talking about. But the question is, well, the Bible, it claims to be the words of God, and well, who is God? And what we read in the Bible about who God is that he is the creator. He is the almighty. He is the most powerful. When we talk about powers, respecting the higher powers, being subject to the higher powers, there is no higher power than God. So when we read about who God is in the Bible, by faith we can know that he's the one that made heaven and earth and all that there is. Take a look at Genesis chapter 1. The very first verse in the Bible says, In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In Psalm chapter 33, verse 6, By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God's words is what created the world. God's word, Jesus, God. In Hebrews 11:3, we see more evidence of this. Through faith, that's us trusting the words of God, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In John chapter 1, we learn that the word was with God in the beginning, and the word we know is Christ. By all things were created by him. And in Job 38, we've got God's response to Job. Let's look at what God says about himself and the way that he created. Job chapter 38. We'll just start in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the corner of the stone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who will shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issue out of the womb? When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swallowing band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. And he goes on and asks Job, Are you me? No, is the answer. We are not God. And We can't claim to be God. We can't claim to be, therefore, the source of authority on truth. God is the only one that is that source. Science provides no answers. Science can't even tell us who God is. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting here in verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Science can't tell us, and we as men are without excuse. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Starting here in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Men hold the truth in error, in unrighteousness, because they don't know what the source of truth is. They no longer have placed God where he deserves to be, which is the highest power, which is the authority on truth. And his words and faith in them is how you know what the truth is. And his words are contained in the book that we as Christians read and understand and live by. And so trusting God then, as this book says in Psalm 118, is better than trusting men. Our faith then is in God's word. It's in the truth of the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, we read a little bit about what God spoke and how he spoke. Here it starts out in this book, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And if you keep going, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God speaks to people, and people write down what God said, and people speak what God said, and people preach what God said. And the record of what God has said is right here in this book. And so therefore, God being the authority on truth and his words being what he said, this book then is the authority on truth. Amen. The point of what we're talking about today is that this is our final authority on truth. It's not any other person. It's not any other man. It's not ourselves, it's God's word. Men wrote, they spoke, and they preached God's word, and we see that all over this book, starting here in Jeremiah chapter 36. Let's see some evidence of this. In chapter 36, verse 2, this is the Lord saying to Jeremiah, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. God spoke to prophets, God spoke to people, and had them write it down what he said. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 16, Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. I'm just showing you some examples here from scripture of when God spake and when men spoke those same words or wrote them down and the recording and preaching of it. And of course, you're probably familiar with 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in dark in a dark place, till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These words we can trust as God's words, and God being the final authority on truth, this also his words being our authority. God preserved his words, and earlier we had a discussion about God preserving his words. Let's go ahead and read some of these verses that we've already discussed today earlier. In Psalm chapter 12, God promised to preserve these words that he had written down in this book. Starting here in verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And turn in the same book to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And look at Isaiah chapter 40. And part of having faith in God's word is actually reading it. Until you've actually read it, how will you even know what God said? Many people want to discount God's word before even reading it. So in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. So this being the words of God and the fact that he promised to preserve them allows us to utilize them, allows us to read them today and to believe them, to trust them, to have faith in them. And so we trust God's word, and his word works in us. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And starting in verse 15 here, Paul is talking to Timothy in this book, and he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And let's take a look then also at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here in verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God's Word, this Bible, is our final authority on truth. When we trust, when we have faith in it, it works effectually in us. In fact, it persuades us, and it persuades us fully, that it is the truth. Take a look at Romans chapter 4. We learn an example from Abraham in Romans chapter 4 about believing the Word of God. God said something to Abraham, and Abraham believed it, of course, knowing that God is the final authority on truth. Abraham could have said, well, look, the science of the day is that I'm an old man. There's no way that I'll have a child this old. Look, I don't have an heir. Look, I don't have a land. These are promises that you're giving me. How can I trust you? But instead, Abraham chose to believe. And in this example here, let's take a look at Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And in 2 Timothy, we learn a little bit more about persuasion, especially persuasion by the truth of God, and that faith that brings that persuasion. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, which is that's the grace that he's talking about from the previous verse there. It's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I, Paul, that's Paul, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. When we read the scripture, when we know God is the authority, when we understand this is his words, when we make this our final authority on truth, we have faith because God's word is where faith comes from, and then we can be fully persuaded that what God said is true. Paul writes and preaches is what he was just talking about. He writes and preaches, and in particular, he writes and preaches and teaches the commandments of the Lord. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What does God want? What is God doing? What is the truth, the reality of who I am, who God is? Why am I here? What's going on? These are all questions that can be answered by the Bible, by the Word of God, God being the authority and the final authority of truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, here in verse 37, Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 7, consider what I say, that's Paul, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, Paul talks about what he received from Christ, the word that was spoken to him, and he says it fulfills the word of God. Take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Starting here in verse 25, Paul's talking about himself, and he says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul also says in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The things that were spoken to Paul that Christ gave him to minister and preach complete the word of God. They're the manifold wisdom of God. And take a look at Titus chapter 1. You might be asking, well, you said, Aaron, God's the final authority, and you're talking a lot about Paul. Well, Paul was given words from God, and he wrote them down, and they complete this book. In Titus chapter 1, take a look at verses 2 and 3. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. See, the reason that the Bible being the final authority in truth matters is because what is preached here in this book has to do with your salvation, your eternal life, the hope that you have of glory. If there's anything that you can do today or have done in the past that is the most important thing, it is to be saved. That's number one. And how do I know that? How do I know it's the most important thing? Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul tells us that God's will is to have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Paul's gospel is from Christ. The message that he preached about salvation is directly from Christ. Paul testifies to that in Galatians. Take a look at Galatians chapter 1. Starting here in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And take a look at Romans chapter 16. I'm sure you know the verse I'm going to. Verse 25, Paul talks about a gospel that he preaches. He says, now to him, that's God, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Christ gave Paul a gospel to preach, and Paul, when he talks about that gospel, says it's my gospel. And in Romans chapter 2, Take a look at verse 16. Every one of us will, as we mentioned earlier, sit at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be judged according to the gospel that Paul preached. And Paul says in verse 16 of chapter 2, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So it's important because it has to do with our salvation, and we're going to be judged by what we believe, what we have faith in, what we think is the truth, what we make the authority in our lives, the final authority. Paul's gospel is also according to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says the following in verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. These words of God have the gospel in them. They have the preaching of the truth about who God is, who we are, what we're doing, how do we have life, why does death occur, and how can we have eternal life. And so this book then becomes the authority and our final authority on all truth. Believing and trusting then what you hear from this book is going to be equal to your salvation. That's where your salvation comes from, the Word of God. The faith that you have, very literally, is from the words that God spoke and that are recorded here in the Bible. In fact, that's what Romans chapter 10 testifies to, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But also in Romans chapter 3, your faith is how you get justified. Take a look at Romans chapter 3. Start here in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll end here in Ephesians. We're going to read verse 13 in Ephesians. I'll back it up to 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. The only way you're hearing the word of truth is when people preach it. The only way people know what the word of truth is because God spoke it, and it was recorded and written down for us. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And look at Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The importance of the Bible being the final authority on truth is, number one, salvation. The most important thing that any one of us could do today or have, you know, believed in the past unto salvation. And so, just a real quick summary then, because we have this book, because it's been preserved, because we can read it today and we can understand it and use it, then we can know where the truth is and what our final authority is. Is there any comments or questions about any of that?